Hello and welcome to another episode of the Auto Trader Podcast. My name is Wandile Sishi.
And I'm George Mini.
And we got a pretty interesting show today. But before we get into it, this show was actually almost threatened because we had load shedding like now. And they cut all the power and the generator couldn't get going. But, you know, fortunately we have some handymen and women who came in and got us up and running again.
Well, some people were locked out the building. You know,
I heard about that. I heard that there were people who were just trapped in like...
Well, trapped outside. That's trapped. That's not trapped. But
but they were trapped outside and couldn't get in or away from the area that they were in.
Well, it was out on the balcony.
Yeah.
They were... So what happened was the door magnet to the kitchen.
Yes.
The battery went flat.
Mm.
During power time. Mm. And then when load shedding happened, the
nobody
battery...
Can get in
you can't put the code in and the... Magnet just.
So what did we do? We just send them food. Like, what was the plan?
No, we walked around to the front door.
Okay, that's an easy fix. That's an easy fix.
Because I was part of the party.
Yo,
I was stuck outside.
Anyway, so we just had the last race of the first half of the year, and it was Hungaroring, and let me just say, it was one of my favorite races this year for so many different reasons. And you know the main reason is I think I got the team to actually put up a photo for me. One of the reasons of that is your team did a splendid job of being consistent. So yeah,
I must be honest that like they're a bunch of clowns.
Yeah,
they really are. I wouldn't disagree with that picture. Like I've been a Ferrari F1 supporter.
Yeah,
I mean I'm not a massive Ferrari everyday drive car fan, but I'm a big Ferrari F1 supporter.
Yeah,
and I think's happening.
What's happening?
I think they're writing the strategy.
Yeah.
In Italian.
Like,
and using Google Translate
to kind of get us to find out
to tell Leclerc
and science
how to drive.
Who knows what's going on, but it's so funny because when I was watching the race, I think it was like lap 38 or something, but they called Charles to come in. And I see them pulling out the blankets out of the tires, and I just see these wide strips, and I'm like, no way is they gonna do that. There's no way in hell they're about to put
hard tires.
And I start laughing and laughing and laughing. 2 seconds later, you send me a message, and it was so poetic. It was so poetic. I think Ferrari strategically challenged. And I lost it. I completely lost it because I was like, okay, the whole world is seeing what's happening here, and it's not just me. But yeah, I mean, Hungary last year, Bottas came and, you know, like a wrecking ball and took out 4 cars in the first lap. And this year we're having, you know, more silly season. So,
it's a very interesting season because the cars are able to pass. There's a lot more competition and so I'm loving it. You know, the FIA must do more of what they've done to allow the cars to follow even closer.
Yeah.
But I have no words for Ferrari. I have no words. I would defend them every day of the week, but that was such a dumb move. I don't understand it.
The car's there, everything's there, and it's honestly, you know, we keep saying it's the third week in a row.
Yes,
you're saying they're just giving Mercedes, you know, a chance.
Well, they're giving the championship away to Verstappen and Red Bull.
Yeah, because and he's running away with it.
I don't think for Mercedes. I know you're wearing the Mercedes regalia today, but. Let's not go there. I don't think Mercedes are going to stand a chance to win the championship.
Not.
But with the way Ferrari is carrying on like a bunch of clowns, Mercedes might come second.
I think we're like 34 points behind you guys in constructors. So it's super close. But we do have this month now where everyone kind of recalibrates and see what's going on. But, you know, Hamilton's on a run.
Hopefully they recalibrate in English.
Let's hope they, you know... Let's hope they recalibrate in English. But yeah, what a halfway to kind of end. What a way to end halfway through the season. It's going to get more interesting for sure. Mm. But what a season so far. Like you said,
and you know, George Russell. I take my hat off to that guy. I think he's a very level-headed rookie.
Very
level-headed rookie. I think he put him in that Ferrari. I think he'll outdrive Leclerc.
Yeah, yeah. No, I think he's definitely something special to watch. Mm.
Let's not talk about Hamilton. I still think he's a plonker.
That's okay. That's okay. The icon. We love talking about him anyways.
Do you know what an icon is?
It's Lewis Hamilton. Huh? Yeah. Lewis Hamilton is the
icon. I thought it was the thing on my screen on my phone.
Moving on. So this is the car hiring episode. And essentially what I'm going to be talking about here is the process of car hiring, as well as cars that you can hire for special occasions, and how to, you know, go about, you know, navigating the car hiring world. But have you ever hired a car before?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, every time I travel to Durban or Cape Town, I hire a car, you know. But yeah. That's traditional car hire company stuff.
Yeah, that's more of like a
short term. You know?
It's not like a, yeah, exactly. It's not like for an occasion or anything like that. It's purely.
It's the Revit, like a rental kind of.
Yeah. Do you know what the most expensive car to hire was, I guess? Because this is a little bit aged, but dated, data. But yeah.
As in like a short term rental.
For a day. The most expensive recorded daily average for car up until a certain amount of time.
I would guess it's a luxury car and not a sports car. So I would have guessed it's like a
Rolls
Bentley
Royce
or Rolls Royce or a limo.
Okay.
You know, I wouldn't think that it's an exotic car because that would be. I think that would be dangerous to have as a hire car.
For sure.
So I'd like logic tells me, and I don't know the answer to this.
Yeah.
Logic tells me that it's a luxury car, and if I take the price of a Bentley, limo, you know, those kinds of luxury cars.
Tough maths,
yeah. Yeah, tough maths. No, I'm trying to, like, you know, 250,000, 300,000, 400,000 rand average rental, right? Okay. And you're talking about a potentially 10 times the price. Okay. Yeah. So, and if I take a current car hire, maybe anywhere between 300 to 800 rand, well, probably higher now because of the fuel price, 800 rand a day. So call it 800 rand a day times 10.
2,000 years later.
I would say 10 grand.
10 grand. We finally got there.
I'm really being analytical.
But you really thought about everything there, and I love it. I love it because.
Well, you can't just, like, I mean, you just pull a number out of the sky. Do you know what that's called?
What's that called?
It's called a skyhook.
It is a skyhook. And, you know, I think you did a really good job.
You got a calculator.
I get it. No, honestly, I understand completely. Okay, so I'm going to put it up. I think the producers have an image of it. So I think.
Oh, a Veyron.
It's a Veyron. A Bugatti Veyron was in 2018. It's probably a lot more now. Was recorded as the most expensive car to hire.
Price?
335,000 rand per day.
There goes my 10 grand of my maths.
Yeah, which is why I was like, yeah, okay, times 10, no? So 335,000 rand a day to hire a Bugatti Veyron.
Well, I mean, I suppose. There's not many of these around, right?
For context, an oil change in a Bugatti is around that much. So, you know. They are really expensive cars in general just to run.
Yeah.
The agency that actually hires it out did say that it's usually for, like, shoots and stuff. It's not really, it's like for a movie set or one of those things, just because the insurance alone is just, you know.
No, insane. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
What does it cost to hire a Bentley for a day?
Mm.
I'm not too far off. My math's not bad for a Bentley.
I never said your math was bad.
It's $890, which is like 12 grand.
No, look, I'm not saying your math was bad. Your
and
math
a
was
Bentley
spot
Continental
on
V8, $1,190 per day.
No, your math was perfect. Your math is perfect. I think you were just looking.
I said no sports cars.
Yeah.
And
that,
you know.
I mean, that's a hypercar, to be fair.
Well, yes, it's a hypercar. So
your math and thinking was completely rational. Completely. Yeah,
that's okay. You don't have to say that.
So anyways, how to hire a car. So usually the process of, if you're going to be hiring a car, is you need a valid driver's license. I don't know. I didn't know this until the first time I went to go hire my car. But you not the license bit. I knew you needed a license, but I didn't know what I'm about to say. Sorry, I did that information the wrong way.
Uh-huh.
But usually there's you have to be a certain age to
Einstein
hire a car.
Was also dyslexic.
I'm trying my best, Jordan. You must be at least a minimum age, and usually it's around 23, even in South Africa. So I didn't know that the first time I went to try and hire a car, that that's, you know, something that they consider.
Well, it's down to risk, I guess.
It is.
So companies can put whatever rules they want in place. So different car companies can have different ages. They can say you have to be 30, to hire a car from us. So it's not a law. It's a for car sure. hire company rule. So, you know, 23 or older, that's probably, you know, they've taken it from each other and applied it. I don't think it's not a legal thing.
No. The driver's license thing is definitely a legal thing. But, you know,
you'll probably find companies that do under 23.
No, there is. Yeah. There is. So that was my next point, is if you are a young driver, usually they just charge you a little bit extra.
Yeah, you'll pay for it.
And it goes down to experience. I mean, the younger you are, usually you just, you know, you don't have the experience, and it's used a higher risk person ultimately. So that's the first thing. Then something that you need to consider is also it's usually credit card payments.
Well, I had this problem. At the end of COVID, when I travelled again for the first time, and I had to hire three cars. There was a party of us travelling.
Yeah,
and I had to hire three cars. And I was the only one
with the credit card.
With a credit card.
So you had to just swipe for all three.
So I swiped for all three, which wasn't the problem to swipe for all three, right? For me.
Yeah.
It was a problem for the car hire company.
Because who's going to be driving? You're not going to be driving all three
cars.
No,
they want a different credit card for each
vehicle.
A vehicle driver. Mm. So it became a problem because I said, like, can't you just put a hold on my card for each person that is taking a car?
Mm.
And they said, no, we need a different credit card for each car.
Yeah. It's like, I know why. If it's you taking up three different, surely you're not driving all three of them. And when it comes to insurance, it's basically your name has to be on the credit card.
Yes. And I didn't know that.
And that's kind of, you know, the big challenge is
we spent about 1 hour there phoning the head office of that car rental company. Like, why does this have to happen? And as a matter of fact, the following time we traveled, we'd used a different car hire company and they allowed one credit card.
Oh, okay.
So it depends from credit card company, from car hire company to car hire company. But, you know.
And did you have to pay the full amount? Because I know that's also something that some of them say you have to pay the full amount now. It'll just be like they'll take half now, half later, but it's already been swiped, essentially.
No. So what they do is they put a hold on your card.
Yeah.
So they block out $5,000.
Yeah.
And that's the potential risk and car hire fee and fuel and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So they'll block it out, and then when you return the car, they'll just take what they need to take and then release the block.
Yeah. But that's what I'm trying to say. But you have to have the full amount.
Yes. Available. Yes. You've got to have it available as credit. So you couldn't have maxed out your credit card. It would not gonna work.
Okay, so that's also another thing to kind of take note of.
Well, if you've maxed out your credit card, you shouldn't be hiring a car.
Well, yeah, that's needless to say. It's probably a good idea you don't do that.
Get a bicycle.
And then payments usually compulsory at the beginning, and then you need to do deposits usually. And yeah, just make sure that you haven't been in an accident or have any fines or anything like that, because that could be a potential blockade as to you getting the car that you want to hire.
I've never seen a car hire company check for fines.
It's, well, who knows? It's kind of a,
maybe they do in the background.
Yeah, they kind of say please don't have, but you know, do they actually go ahead? Not too sure.
I mean, do they have the systems to immediately? I mean, you can watch the person doing their thing. Does it, like, I'd be interested to know. Do their systems automatically just check for fines?
I do know that there are people who use hired cars for crime, so.
No, but we're talking about fines here, not crime.
I mean, fines are crimes.
You're a bank robbery in a rental.
Exactly that.
You've given them your driver's license, your credit card.
I'm robbing the bank. It does happen. So, you know, maybe, I don't know. I'm reading here. I'm reading what they told me. They say that they'll do a background check a little bit. So do they? Probably not. I think it's a lot of work to do that.
They do a background check on every renter.
Well,
I suppose it's in their T's and C's so that they can do it if they need to.
Yes. I suppose. Okay. We reached a good midpoint there.
Yeah.
So types of occasions where you'd need to hire a car potentially. Have you ever hired a car for an occasion?
No.
Matric ball?
No.
Okay, me neither. So I've never had to, only work. That's the only time. But, you know, matric dance, birthday parties, bachelor's weddings.
Technically, you do hire a car for funerals. But you don't drive it.
Yeah, I don't think that would be your...
But you don't drive it.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. You would have to. I mean,
unless you're saying to hire a car to get to the funeral.
No, I think just in general, you would have to. Yeah, a hearse, you'd probably have to hire.
Yeah, I mean, you could, of course.
Unless you have one lying around. But I don't think many people do. So, so you know, there's that. And then just something to, you know, how much the average price is to hire a car in South Africa?
I would imagine it's in the upper hundreds.
Mid hundreds.
Yeah.
317 on average per day, which is not too bad. Mm. Versus the 333,000, you know, it's much less of the Bugatti. But limos, that's when it changes. You know, you can go almost 4,000 rand per hour. So if you're going to be hiring a car for an occasion, just know that if it's a limo for an occasion, it's going to be really expensive.
Yeah, limos, I think, are expensive because they're niche and there's not many of them around in South Africa. You know, I wonder what it costs to hire a bus. Like a party bus. I'm not talking about like a minibus, like a taxi. I'm talking about like a proper big bus.
Yeah, like a school bus.
Okay, school bus is midway. Yes, you're right. Maybe a school bus. But
how big bus are you?
Like a Gautrain bus.
Yeah.
You've been on that.
That's a school bus. That was my school. My school bus was like a Gautrain bus.
Yes, so was mine. Yeah. I'm thinking of the American school buses, you know, the yellow ones.
I mean, yeah. like a Putco bus or, you know.
Bus. Exactly. Yeah. Putco bus. Is Putco still going?
I think they are. But, you know, with regards to funerals, you know, people hire buses as well. In Durban, for instance, whenever I have to go to a funeral for family there, we have to get a bus for carry the whole family.
How many people can fit on a bus?
Not more than 54, I would imagine.
Hiring a bus.
Mm-hmm. What's the going rate to hire a bus?
19,000 rand.
What's a day?
And you get 200 kilometers free.
A day?
Wow. I don't know. That's 19.
Must be a day, yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Coach, minibus, bus hire. It took 10,000 rand, 9,000 rand. No, that's a minibus, 9,000 rand. So bus must be this 20 grand.
Wow. Okay, that's a lot more expensive than I thought it would be.
To hire a bus. Yeah. Well, no, if you can put 50 people in it and like what's 50 divided, here's my maths again.
Let's do it again. Do it again.
50, yeah. 50 divided into 20 grand.
That's what 50 people are paying, but usually if you're hiring a bus, it's not 50 people are paying unless it's like a, what scenario would 50 people individually.
Well, if you've got something like if you want to go to, let's say,
like a festival or
like
something,
the FNB Stadium, and there's, you know, like the World Cup soccer or.
Okay. Your 50 friends. it's just an insane amount of people for one bus. I think usually in that scenario, it's one person who's taking the pain.
That's assuming you have 50 friends.
I'd have a tough time.
Otherwise, everyone would pay relatively more.
Yeah, exactly that. But yeah, so that's if you want to hire a car, that's, you know, those are options you have. But I don't know how I feel about hiring cars. It's always better to just, you know.
Well, yeah, I mean, when the Uber thing struck, and it was all the fad, all the rage, should I say, I was like, yeah, cool. You know, Uber's is the business. And then I started to experience the downsides.
Yeah.
So, you know, the cars initially were all in good nick and good condition.
Yeah.
And then they started to deteriorate. Mm. And the first time I had a bad experience was in Cape Town.
On a work trip.
Went down to Cape Town, got an Uber from the airport.
Yeah.
And for some reason, the Durban and Cape Town Uber cars,
yeah,
are those venture type.
Okay, yeah.
Like
a minivan.
Like a little minivan thing.
Yeah.
Okay. First of all, those things are like tin cans. Mm. But second of all, not in a good state in Cape Town. And I got into this thing and I was like, do I actually take this ride or not? We got into it anyway. It was in terrible condition inside.
Yeah.
The seats were buggered. Mm. And the guy drove from Cape Town International Airport into the city where our office was.
Yeah.
I think he almost knocked over two or three passengers. That's not passengers, two or three pedestrians.
Yeah.
Because he was on his phone all the time.
Mm.
And eventually I said to him, you know, can you concentrate on driving?
Mm-hmm.
And I had a really bad experience on that trip. And then it didn't get much better. You know, every time I went to Durban or Cape Town, Gauteng Ubers, well, I haven't used one in a while.
Yeah.
But seemed to be fine.
They're in decent condition. Yeah.
But Cape Town and Durban, my goodness, those cars were in bad condition. I don't know whether it's changed or not.
I mean, whenever I'm in Cape Town, the first time I hired a car was actually in Cape Town. And what I found was it's so cheap. It's so much cheaper to take an Uber and travel.
No, of course, especially if you've got multiple people.
Yeah, in Cape Town specifically.
Yeah.
Versus, yeah, that or whenever I go to Durban, even then, I think it's better to hire a car. But there, it's just so much cheaper to just...
Uber.
To Uber, yeah. So
it's because everything's so close together.
Yeah. Yeah, it's probably that. So that's the one scenario where I would potentially Uber, but you know, when it comes to hiring a car, I don't think I'd ever do that option long term for like a month.
There's some people that don't own a car, right?
I'd rather do a subscription service then, or I would consider buying.
So there are quite a few in the market right now where you can subscribe to not owning cars. You drive a car all the time, so you sole driver of the car, but you don't own it.
Yeah.
And you just rent it, so you get the rent to own models and the fancy bank finance that is an operating lease. And those are effectively just fancy ways of owning the car, right? Whereas the true rentals haven't really got scale yet. In Europe and America, they have to a certain degree.
Like long-term rentals or?
No, well, yeah, medium to long-term rentals. So you can switch the car within 6 months.
Okay.
You know, the rental companies now that are in the market, the pure rental companies, I'm not talking about the rent-to-own companies.
Like an Avis or a Budget.
That's short-term rental.
That's short-term rental.
You get rent-to-own where you don't have good credit.
Okay, I understand.
And you want to own a car and you go and you sign this lease with a rent-to-own company.
Yeah.
The car effectively doesn't, the title doesn't become yours until such as time as you've actually paid for it. And you're renting the car, but you're paying down the debt.
Yeah, exactly.
So they're almost like a bank.
Yeah.
But the pure rental companies where that doesn't happen, there's no ownership option. Those haven't proliferated in South Africa yet, but they're gaining a bit of momentum where you can actually, you know, rent a car for a long, medium to long-term period. So
like a six-month period.
Like 6 months, 1 year. You can change it if you want.
Yeah.
Whenever you want, and there's hardly any risk. Insurance is built in, everything maintenance is built in, services are built in.
And everything. You don't have to do, you know, have the capital investment essentially, or the initial investment of having to cough up a lot.
Or worry about taking the, the risk of depreciation and selling it.
Exactly that.
But it hasn't gained momentum yet.
Yeah, sadly not. But if you want to get a car or own a car, definitely buy a car. And, you know, always search Auto Trader on Google if you're looking for a car. To buy or sell is what we're always going to recommend. It's nice to have that asset and it's yours. So yes. Now, before we end, George, I actually have a hot take, and I think I've asked you this before. Must have been 2 years ago. It must have been 2 years ago when I think it was Prince Williams or Prince Charles had a car accident. He rolled over his car and he injured two people. He was perfectly fine.
Really, because he never drives.
No, he's actually one of the few royals who always says he wants to drive his own car. But it put into question, should there be a minimum and maximum age for driving?
No, I don't think so. I don't think that age is a factor.
What about this guy? I mean, do you think he's old enough to drive?
Oh, he looks like he's in his teens.
I don't think he's probably a child.
Yeah. So I mean, in all reality, I think there should be a minimum, right?
Yes.
Okay. So first of all, there has to be a start where you're no longer a child and you are a bit more responsible.
Yes.
And
yes.
You understand the impact of this, you know, 2-ton piece of metal traveling at 100 k's an hour.
Yes.
So there has to be a minimum age, I would say. So to answer your question more seriously.
And that's in South Africa's 18.
18. 17 with a learner's license, 18 with a driver's license, yes. Yeah.
I think 18 is a good place to start. I think 16 is far too young.
In the US, some states are 16.
Yeah.
Driver's license.
Yes. And I think that's a bit strange, specifically because there are implications if you're in an accident.
Hey, we've got a higher accident rate than them, eh?
For sure. But should you be in an accident, as a 16-year-old, usually you're not going to be trialed as an adult, right? But I think a car is something...
Depends on the country's age of majority.
Sure.
So whatever the legal system says,
okay,
when you're an adult,
yes,
could be different from country to country.
And I think it should match in terms of driving age versus, you know, the legal age to be trialed,
which is 18 in this country.
Yes, and you know, just because of the legal implications,
it's juvenile jail.
Yeah, but it's I don't think you can wrap your head around the, like, when you're driving a car, it's not just about mobility, you know what I mean? I think there's a responsibility that you have as well too.
Yeah, that's why I say there should be a minimum, definitely a minimum age. I think we got it right.
I think
17 and 18 is good.
Yeah.
Should there be a maximum age? I don't think so.
I fully agree.
I don't think so. And let me tell you the reasons I don't think so. Is because more and more you read about disease and death.
Yes.
Okay. Oh my goodness. Who is that? Prince?
I think it is, yeah. Prince Charles? I think
Charles. That's not Charles. Isn't that Albert?
Albert, yeah. It must be. Yeah.
So death, yes. Aging and death, yes. Right, is more and more being spoken about as a solvable disease.
Okay.
Okay. So people are living longer. They're getting older and they're getting older more healthy. Okay. So you can't really, like, one 97-year-old versus that was Prince Philip, by the way. One 97-year-old versus another 97-year-old.
Yeah.
They're going to be two different
things.
Okay. So exactly how that. You've treated your body over your lifetime,
yes,
is going to be what you age like.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, genetics plays a part, yes, but nature nurtures. How you nurture your body is going to play half the role in what you're like at 18, 90 years old. So therefore, nobody can come and say, oh, you can't, 95 and older, you can't drive.
Yeah. Look, the numbers, there's been research done on this, and to your point, it's exactly that. It's got nothing to do with ability the older you get. In fact, it's been proven that people who are older are less likely to be in accidents because they drive a lot more carefully.
They're
more likely to get injured in an accident just because they are now older. But
again, disease is a solvable problem.
Yeah.
Get around. I say death is a solvable problem, and disease results from age. Disease doesn't result from many other things. It's as a result of age. So therefore, as medical science progresses,
yeah,
right, people are going to be healthier older.
Yes.
I mean, you look at today's 80-year-olds. They don't look 80.
Yeah.
My mother is in her 70s.
Yeah.
She don't look 70.
Yeah, yeah. No, I agree with you. I think, however, with that being said, I don't think age should be the parameter, but rather ability. So should we be testing every 10 years to see if you still...
Okay, so then that comes... That brings like that element in is... regular tests.
Yeah.
So I'll give you an example of the industry that does that, because you know I'm a recreational pilot.
Yeah.
So every 2 years
you've
got to be tested again.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
With a test pilot next to you.
Mm.
Not a test pilot, an instructor next to you. And he puts you through your paces. You're flying the aeroplane, he tells you how to fly, and you have to perform the exercises that he tells you to perform. And then also on the ground, put you through some theoretical tests.
Should we do the same thing with vehicles? Personally, I think it's the difference.
Here's the conundrum though, is the more sophisticated vehicles get,
the less reliant they are on the human. Yeah.
So is there any point, really?
It's a hot take. So let's see. Maybe in the comments people can give us their perception on and what they believe.
So we're going to self-driving vehicles. Do we create this massive system where you get retested every 5 years?
Yeah. Who knows? Anyways, that's pretty much all the time we have for today's episode. I'll see you next week, George.
Go Verstappen.
Well, yeah, in a month. I've got to wait. Thank you.